We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
No, Damon is not here. Where is Damon?
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Is he still in Cabo?
I think they're on their way home. Yeah. He's been on vacation this week. They spent some time in Mexico.
Because they didn't get to, well, they did a honeymoon, didn't
they? Yeah, they did.
So it's G Guru featuring Townie on 95.7 The Game. John Morosi is going to hopefully join us in moments. I got to think this is pretty good news. Oh, we do have John Morosi? We will get back to Conley signing with the Raiders. Not really something John Morosi is going to be big into, but Sonny Gray, obviously huge. You see him on the MLB Network and also on Fox. John Morosi with us here on 95.7 The Game. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, and happy trade deadline to both of you and all our great listeners today.
Yes, and wondering, the Yankees have pulled away from the A's, so we were hearing that. What is the latest on Sonny Gray, and is there a chance he could be pitching on Monday against the San Francisco Giants?
Well, from what I can tell, guys, there's still multiple teams involved. I think we're getting now to the time of the trade deadline season when there's a lot of things said on both sides, and maybe times when certain executives will think a deal is done or dead, and then all of a sudden it gets revived again. So what I'll tell you is this. As of today, the last I heard about Sonny Gray, multiple teams still involved. And basically, I will believe that he is not going to the Yankees definitively if and when he is traded somewhere else. I still think there's a very decent chance that he ends up with the Yankees, but the interest in him is broad. Teams like the Astros, the Dodgers, even the Brewers, the Braves, we've heard the Padres in the last 24 hours. So the interest in him is so strong that I still believe there's a very good chance that he'll be traded somewhere in the next 48 hours, and I think the Yankees remain one of those possibilities.
John, when you look at Brandon Crawford, we all know he's not having the best year, but he just came out and said he hopes that management would move in the fences. Were you at all shocked that he made those comments?
A little bit, just because when you think about San Francisco and the way the Giants have played for so long, it's a ballpark that has been, I think, really conducive to the type of club they've built. I mean, they won three World Series there, so clearly when they were really going and there was a lot of momentum there, you never heard really much in the way of having to switch out the fences or change anything about that. So a little surprised there. I know it's been a tough year for Brandon. So, to me, I don't read too much into it, nor do I really expect that it's going to change all that much. It's a beautiful ballpark there. To me, if you've got the best ballpark in the majors, which I believe the Giants have, I would not be eager to change any part of AT&T Park.
You know, I was thinking about a Giant today, and I know he's got a lot of money owed. I think it's like $60 million still left on the deal. But when you think about playoff baseball and the way that bullpens now take over playoff baseball, what would you think about Jeff Samardzija, who once starred for the Chicago Cubs and had some good years coming out of the bullpen, taking his money on knowing that he's going to be a starter, but in the postseason, as we saw with Andrew Miller, sometimes you're bringing guys in the fourth or fifth inning, and he could give you length inside one of those games. What would you think about him? Bring him on as a starter, and then you could use him in a role like that in the postseason.
Interesting concept, Tony, on that, and certainly there have been teams that have thought about Samardzija as more of a reliever in the past. It's a tough sell just because of the money that he is owed. I think for a team to look at him, and the playoffs are a bit of a separate case. We saw David Price coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs for the Blue Jays in 2015, weeks before he signed a $200 million contract. So there are really exceptions to that in the playoffs. The playoffs, it becomes a race to 27 outs, and I don't really even put that much stock in how a player is used in October. But I think on a sustained basis, the interest in Samardzija, I think, is greatest as a starter. He's actually been, if you look at wins above replacement in Fangraphs.com, he's actually been one of the 20 best pitchers in baseball this year. Doesn't always look that way, but in terms of the actual the outs he's been able to record, his peripheral numbers. Again, the advanced analytics don't always line up with what you see in terms of ERA and wins and losses. But I think from that standpoint, Samard has put together a pretty decent season as a starting pitcher. I think that's where his interest is. That's where his contract makes the most sense. But again, I saw the comments that he made to the Mercury News here this week saying he does not want to be traded. So I think at that point in time, unless something changes here in the next 48 hours or so, looks like he's probably going to be a San Francisco Giant for the next couple of years to come as well.
John, speaking of David Price, we know about the feud with Eckersley. Now he's on the 10-day DL with elbow discomfort. All of a sudden now, I would imagine that the Red Sox are in the market for a starting pitcher, huh?
Well, Guru, it's very interesting because they have come out, and Dave Dombrowski has said publicly in the last several hours here that he believes that he can just go with Doug Fister internally and not have to worry about going outside the organization to find some more pitching. I guess I would say I'll believe that when I see it. Again, I think some of these things at this time of year, if you're the Boston Red Sox and if you believe you have a chance to win the World Series, and you just lost your number two starter, who, by the way, has been really good. Got an ERA under 3 for his last 6 outings. If you lose your number two starter, then you say, you know what, I'm going to take a guy who was unsigned and was not even in anybody's camp in spring training, and for that reason, I'm totally fine. I find that a little bit difficult to have a lot of confidence in for the long term. Now, what they could do potentially is reevaluate things in the month of August. You can, of course, make some trades in that month using waivers, so maybe that's when they decide to make that upgrade in the month of August. But to me, guys, my instinct is right there in line with yours, Guru, that I think that this is a team in the Boston Red Sox. You lose David Price, and you're 72 hours away or so from the trade deadline. You have got to take a very serious look at your ball club, and in my estimation, get very involved in the likes of Yu Darvish or Lance Lynn or Jaime Garcia and other different possibilities there among the rental market.
You see him, Fox Sports, MLB Network, and don't forget NHL Network. John Morosi with us here on 95.7 The Game. Verlander and Darvish, what are you hearing on these two?
Well, Darvish, I still hear a lot about the Los Angeles Dodgers. Lots of work going back and forth between the two of those teams, trying to find out where the common ground would be on a deal. The Rangers, I'm told, and this has been pretty consistent with what I've been hearing, they want to get either Alex Verdugo or Walker Buehler in that deal for that to make sense from the Texas standpoint, and probably even more than that. I realize it's just a rental for Darvish, but his numbers overall, again, he's another guy whose ERA and some of the more counting traditional numbers have not been as impressive as his peripheral numbers. And he has, from the standpoint of wins above replacement and fielding independent pitching, has been very strong for Darvish this year. Strikeout rate is good. So in all those areas, I think Darvish is a very appealing candidate, and for the Dodgers in particular, a really nice fit because he's a right-handed arm in a rotation with a lot of lefties. So he's a very good fit for them. I still think that of all the possibilities, the Dodgers are the leaders in the clubhouse to get Yu Darvish. And then with Verlander, the team I hear the most is the Cubs, but nothing imminent as of today. I keep hearing that for now it's been a bit of a standstill with the Detroit Tigers and the Chicago Cubs. The Dodgers have really not been all that active right now in Verlander. It's been more with the Cubs, if at all, for the Tigers. And I'm not even convinced, guys. I'm not convinced Verlander's going anywhere. He may actually stay with the Tigers based on how things play out here in the coming days.
John, I can remember baseball, watching it all 9 innings when there was no wild card. And now I see all the teams that still have hopes and desires to make it. Has the wild card been the best thing to happen to baseball in a long, long time?
I'm a fan of it, and I think it's one of the reasons why Bud Selig on Sunday is going to be a Hall of Famer. I think it's one of the innovations of the game that's brought a lot of positivity to it. When you look at the game and you look at the number of teams that make the playoffs, baseball is still the hardest league that we have in our country in terms of the number of teams that reach the playoffs. So when you think about that and the way that it's all played out, it's actually, I think, a very fair system. And even the addition of the second wild card is still, again, the most premium of all the playoffs in our major sports is Major League Baseball. So I think it keeps more fans engaged. It's helped clubs out immensely because you've got more meaningful games in August and September to draw your fans to. So I think financially it's been a boon. We've had great memories, great moments that have been because of the wild card. When you think about that amazing game 162 down to the final outs there and back in 11 with Evan Longoria and the Boston Red Sox and everything went down there. That was all because of the wild card. Without the wild card, that doesn't happen. So I think it's a really special innovation. It's brought us a lot of great memories. You think about the Marlins in 97 and 03, wild card team. So a lot of history in this game is because of wild card teams, and I think it's certainly been a major innovation for the positive. And again, one of the reasons why Bud Siggs is going to be a Hall of Famer there on Sunday.
Yeah, it's really changed the trading deadline too.
Yes. Yeah, because you've got teams, and that's a great point, Tony, because you think about right now, and as I do my job right now and talk to clubs and see what they're doing and where their focus is at the deadline, I've got teams saying to me, well, I think we might still be a buyer, but they're two games under 500, which to all of us, we think about that, you're a losing club. How could that possibly be? But they'll tell you that, listen, when the Blue Jays made their dramatic moves there with Price and Tulo back in 2015, 2 years ago, you can look it up. They had a losing record at the time. The Royals, that very same year, they went to the playoffs, I believe it was the year before, 2014. They had a losing record in July and went to the World Series. So we've seen it happen so many times now where because of the wild card, it gives a lot of hope to ball clubs, it gives a lot of hope to fan bases, and it really makes executives earn those paychecks they get because those are tough decisions. How much do you mortgage the future for a chance at the present when maybe you're just playing for a wild card, that one game to get in? So you're right. It's a great point. You guys raised two excellent points about the wild card. It really is something that fundamentally changes the way the clubs make decisions this time of year. And certainly, hey, guys, it makes my job more fun anyway, so I'm all for it myself.
No doubt about it. Hey, I don't want to blindside you with this, but there was an article today out of the Huffington Post by Andy Martino, and the title of it is Major League Baseball Has a Cocaine Problem. I don't know if you've seen this or not. Have you seen this article?
I have not seen it, and I would tell you that I don't have any information about it. I'll be quite candid that at this time of year, if it doesn't involve players and buyers or sellers and trade deadline, I'm pretty much immune to it and not really having any knowledge of it. So that particular article is quite news to me in multiple different ways.
Yeah, it takes us back to, I was reading this today, and it takes us back. You think this was written in like the 1980s?
Well, all I can say is that certainly MLB has been very strict on the performance enhancing drug side of things. It's obviously there is the testing program at the major league level does not test for, as they call it, drugs of abuse. That does happen in the minor leagues, but not in the major leagues. So it certainly is, I'm sure, a topic that will be brought up to the commissioner's office as time goes on. If in fact there's a movement that it has to be addressed on a more of a comprehensive level.
All right, we've kept you long enough. Get back to your phone and keep tweeting it out and let us know what's happening with the trading deadline.
Sounds good, guys. I fear that when I hang up, I will check my phone and five trades would have broken the time that we're on the phone. But you know what? It's worth it because I look forward to our chats every week, guys. So thanks so much for having me on the show.
You're the best, John.
It.
Take care.
I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
John Morosi.
Is there more of him? That's authentic. What a real guy.
I love
man.
The guy.
I'm in a better mood.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Good dude.
You met him in person?
Yeah, he's a really nice man. It's crazy, this article out of the Huffington Post.
What about the picture?
Yeah, it's basically the...
Home plate?
It's like a little baseball field, and a guy's got a dollar bill rolled up, and he's
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, he's got a little Johnny going. So, so it's basically like the line, the first base line is a line of cocaine.
Right. I thought that was New York Times.
I mean, when Albie sent this to me today, because let's face it, Jose Fernandez, who recently passed last year, had cocaine and he was boozing it up and he had cocaine in his system and a speedboat. So you just wonder. I mean,
other than that, though, all we hear about is PEDs. We don't hear pitcher A and outfielder A got busted for the white snow.
Yeah, that it's like your Pirates back in the 70s and the
Expos 80s. And Phillies. And yeah, come on.
The guy going into the Hall of Fame on Sunday, Tim Raines, used to have it in his back pocket.
They say that's why they invented the head first slide, so they wouldn't mess up the Coke in the back.
Dave,
not tobacco, the Coke.
Dave Parker, the Cobra, back in the day. I swear to God, this article, you'd think it's the 80s, because there was a cocaine problem in Major League Baseball. I mean,
society had a cocaine problem.
No doubt about it. Pablo Escobar was changing the United States of America and its cocaine addiction. And one team to look at was a team that was so talented it only won once. It was the New York Mets. And supposedly they were all doing it.
Lenny Dyke?
They were all your boy, Keith Dwight Hernandez. Gooden. Strawberry.
They did too much.
Keith Hernandez. Man. They were all New York City. And that's the thing. It's, you know, it's like society. Society's using drugs. What would make it any different than ball players? We have been so like paranoid, about performance enhancing drugs, testosterone, the clear and the cream, steroids, the recreational drugs. In this article, this one, you know, they don't have the actual names, but they say, guys, you know what they'll do is. Smoked a lot of weed. There's a lot of weed going on in Major League Baseball.
Smoked a little weed.
And there's a lot of cocaine going on.
Well, that's, you're right. We're paying too much attention to the PED problem, that they're probably just looking over what could be a bigger problem happening in Major League Baseball right now. And these guys are under a lot of pressure. Who knows what they do to cope?
I'm under a lot of pressure to pay the bills and kids, and I don't got a lot of money.
And you're stoned right now.
And there's medical marijuana, and there's no medical cocaine.
No, that's true. That's true.
That's amazing.
I just will always remember
the coping mechanisms.
I'll always remember this.
The NFL knows what Randy Moss does with marijuana.
How did he not get suspended for that
one? The NFL knows what Randy Moss is doing with marijuana. They know. Case closed.
Speaking of Randy, give him his due. He's pretty damn good on TV. It shocks me how these dudes just go do it, and then they're like naturals. A-Rod. Randy Moss is pretty damn
A-Rod.
Good.
I just...
The tan.
A-Rod is so douchey. I just can't get over it.
Really?
He is... Oh my God. He's such a narc. I will say this. I've dealt with him one time. One time I dealt with A-Rod, and he was fabulous. Because we were talking about Godzilla, his old teammate, Hideki Matsui, who was here.
Oh, man, yeah.
Hideki Matsui is arguably the most professional person I've ever been around. He was so professional. It was the things he had to do every day for the Japanese media that followed him everywhere. I mean, days he wasn't playing, he'd still sit there and talk to him for 30 minutes.
He was like a god.
He was just the most, and everybody like with the A's will tell you, he's like the most professional. So A-Rod comes to town with the Yankees, and I got to do a little thing with him about Matt, and the Yankees all loved him. They all loved him. He was a big deal for them. He played well for them.
Michael Irvin had a story one time where he kind of shunned him off on having to do 5 minutes with him. And then he somehow Irvin got him to do it. And when the lights went on, he was this, you know, this
phony. He's so phony.
The nicest guy in the world.
So phony. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Herbs told me that story too. It was something. Herbs was doing something about shortstops, and it was like Miguel Tejada.
No, you got it.
Nomar, Jeter, and I think Herbs said something like to him, well, you know, Jeter did it, and once Jeter done it, because they weren't on the same team at the time. So it's like, oh, Jeter did it? Okay, I'll do it.
Exactly.
So cocaine problem in Major League. I'll never forget.
But what are they basing it on, Townie? Nobody's got popped. You can't just say that.
I will never forget. I was in Vegas with this guy who played in Major League Baseball. He was currently playing with one of the best pitchers of all time. This was years ago. And he was like, I mean, I don't want to give the guy away, but he's one of the greatest pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Snitches get stitches, Townie.
He pitched in the Bay Area, and this guy goes, oh, he smokes weed all day long. I went, that guy? He goes, oh, yeah. They were teammates. He's like, oh, dude, he's high all the time. I'm like, no.
Hey, snitches get stitches, man. Old rule, snitches get stitches.
I'm not saying anybody's name, but if I said his name, it may not blow you away. But it's still, the amount supposedly he was smoking on a daily basis, you're just like, how is that possible? But yeah, I guess it's still going on.
Apparently so.
And Doc Ellis, what perfect game on LSD.
No hitter. He didn't pitch.
I thought it was a perfect game.
Was it? I think it was.
It was a perfect game.
You sure? That was a no hitter.
I'm the guru.
It's a perfect game.
Well, you are a Pirates fan, and he did it. It was a no hitter.
I'm the guru. Well,
can you get that for me for a drop?
I'm the guru. Hey, wow.
I'm the guru. But the weed thing, I mean, come on, man. Weed's legal.
Weed's like cigarettes.
They got to let that go.
Yeah, what's the NFL going to do? What's the NFL's been popping guys for weed, and they're still like, well, nationally, it's still illegal. It's like you live in California. Live in Washington.
But go take these pills that go to your kidneys and your liver. It's okay to take that to medicate, but something that helps you and is natural, that's just hypocritical, Gianna.
That you can get prescribed to. Yeah, no, I see that. I think we make a big deal out of it. I think if it wasn't that big of a deal that guys were smoking weed in the NFL, no one would care as much anyway.
Man, ain't nothing wrong with smoking weed.
Anybody care? Like, are we that surprised when we hear that people get high?
Well, when your son, little Falcon, comes home or grows up,
that's
and he's
different.
Like, "Mom, I smoke."
That's different.
You'll be like, "Oh my gosh!"
Well, of course, yeah. But I don't think I'll freak out. I'm not advocating it whatsoever. I'm not saying go out and smoke a bowl. All I'm saying, trust me, I don't. I'm just saying that it's just we put so much chatter like, oh, my God, who cares? He smoked. Like, who cares? Don't make a big deal out of it. No one's going to really think about doing it anyway.
Who died on marijuana?
You're a total stoner. Just admit it.
You know I'm not.
Just admit it.
She said bowl, Townie, bowl.
I mean, I hope I don't want my son to do it, but if someone else is doing it, I mean, I'm not going to sweat you for it. It's not that big of a deal anymore.
Mom, where are the papers?
Not happening. Not happening.
What does the water do again for the bong?
I don't know.
Why are you looking at me?
No, I was just...
Filtration,
why are you looking
I
at
don't
me?
Know.
You're
I don't
the guru.
You're the guru. Why are you looking at wheat and talking weed? I mean, remember the World Series, the Rangers against the Giants? And the
one of the great World Series.
One of the TV guys from Texas, and he's doing a live hit, and people are clearly just blowing weed right by him, and he's like... You know, because in Texas is a whole different ballgame. He was like, you wouldn't believe the smell out here outside AT&T Park. Yeah. He was doing like a live hit and people are just blowing weed right by him.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, you walk down the street here in San Francisco, people, we go by the Thirsty Bear. It's a bar. People come out and just pull the pipe out and start smoking.
Everywhere.
And the cops are going to do nothing.
Everywhere you
nothing.
Go.
And what about these new pins? The little vapors?
The vape?
Man.
They're in the restaurant with those.
But aren't there chemicals involved with that? Like, I feel like you have to draw the line somewhere. Like, that can't be that healthy for you.
You want to get high?
Right? Yeah. I mean, vapors can't be.
And Raider games? Halftime?
In the stadium.
It's just the greatest.
Raider games? There's so much weed at Raider games, it's great. I mean, it's everywhere in California. Everywhere you go.
Maybe that's because we're so used to it here. It's not as shocking to us when we hear... Someone smokes it,
or the edibles. People are eating.
Those can be
chocolates and
people
gummy
don't know
bears
the quantities. Yeah, you get fooled. No, I wouldn't, my friend.
But cocaine's a whole different ball.
Well, I think that's a completely different level of drug.
That's OJ.
Put it this way, Brett Laurie, remember him?
The great physical physique.
Do you remember first time I did an interview for the Dugout Show with Brett Laurie? I think I asked three questions.
Hey, really? Snitches get stitches, man. All rules. Snitches get stitches.
What does that mean?
He talks so fast and for so long, I think I asked two or three questions. And he's like shaking the whole time.
So you think so?
And
interesting.
His nails are chewed down to the nub. Oh, my God. He was a freak show.
Wow.
So if you said he was doing something, I wouldn't be shocked.
Some questions there.
I'm just saying. I am now going to get to that question that was asked on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. It's an interesting question, and it could happen to a team this season. Kickoff for the NFL in 41 days on 95.7 The Game. Man, SC's like your family. It's your family doing you wrong. How
it's
you do the juice like that?
No more.
How much money the juice made for USC? He made them a lot of money.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Kind of like Alex Pavlovich with the money he makes for NBC Sports Bay Area. It's big dollars.
I'll call him AP.
AP, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're living the dream. I got an idea for you. I got an idea for you. So you know how good Jeff Samardzija was out of the bullpen back in the day with the Cubs. So if you trade, I know the money's like $60 million still left after this year. But, you know, what we saw with Andrew Miller last year with the Cleveland Indians, how you bring in this guy who's a weapon and he can come in the fourth, fifth, or sixth and give you length there in the middle of the game. Do you think it's any way possible you could see Samardzija being traded? And then, of course, next year he goes back to being a starter with whatever team trades for him.
I do not, and I think part of that is the no-trade. It's a pretty solid no-trade clause he has, and he wants to be a starter. So I think it'd be pretty hard to find a team that is on that list he can be traded to, that it makes sense baseball-wise, and then one that can convince him, too, that he should give up something that he really enjoys. I think he's shown over and over again that he prefers to start.
Alex, I'm just blown away that Brandon Crawford came out and said he wanted the fences to come in. And to me, it signaled that maybe it's in his head when he's at home and not comfortable. How did those comments go over, do you think, with the Giants front office? And do you think that that could possibly happen?
Well, I was surprised that even turned into anything. I mean, I saw that a couple places. But Crawford, for about 3 or 4 years now, has had a blog that is ghostwritten for him on the Giants website. And it's just kind of a fun thing. And I think that was just a comment made in that blog and something that he said he was joking with kids at his camp about. So I don't think it was meant to be serious. I'm sure any hitter who plays at that place, I'm sure Brandon Belt, Buster Posey, they all probably feel the same way. If you ask him, and I've talked to guys about this before, I mean, they don't love hitting there, but it is the nature of the park and it's the way this team is built. And I think this is a team that is not built for power anywhere. So if you move the fences in, you're probably putting yourself at a bigger disadvantage because you don't have those power guys. I mean, these guys will hit a few more home runs, but other teams will come in and hit a lot more.
You know, the Giants since 2000 have made the least amount of trades in all of baseball. They've made one already. Do you see anything coming down the line here possibly before Monday's deadline?
I think we'll see one more. I think there are enough guys in there, whether it's in the bullpen or whether it's a Hundley or somebody like that. I think there are enough guys who can help in some respect, help a contender. So I think we might see one more, but I really don't think it's going to be big. And that's kind of been the word for a few weeks now. I mean, aside from Nunez, really the only other guy who was going to be a big chip was Johnny Cueto. And that was one that there was some urgency with, I should say, is Johnny Cueto. And Johnny's hurt. He's on the DL, so you can't trade him. I think that's one they might try to get done in August if he gets back, and he will certainly get through waivers with that contract. But as far as the rest of it, I mean, anything that is going to shake up this franchise, I think they're going to wait until the offseason. It's a really bad market right now to be selling. If you look at what teams are getting for some pretty good players, it's not very much. So I think they're going to wait until the offseason.
Alex, in your opinion, who are the real San Francisco Giants? The team that lost to the Cubs last year or this team we're watching currently right now?
I think it's closer to the team we're watching right now just because it's now been over a year. And, it's one thing to have the second half they did last year and then to follow it up with the first half that they did this year, I think makes you double down on that. And really, the second half this year so far, I mean, it's not inspiring. You look at what they do against the Padres. So it is – I don't think they're this bad. I don't think they're anywhere near this bad. But I do think they're much closer to being a bad team than they are to being a team that could potentially get into the NLCS.
Alex Pavlovich from NBC Sports Bay Area joins us here on 95.7 The Game. So you covered the whole Pablo Sandoval from San Jose to Sacramento. How do you think this thing's going to play out, and what'd you learn?
Well, it was fun. You know, I learned that one. I think we have to – the main takeaway for me had nothing to do with Pablo and nothing to do with baseball necessarily. It was a reminder when you see fans there who are still fired up about him and fired up about the Giants, that no matter what we hear on Twitter, no matter what kind of calls you guys get, there are a lot of people who are not going to necessarily be too upset no matter what the season looks like. So that was my takeaway. I think there's still a lot of fans in the Bay Area and up in Sacramento who are willing to live and die with this team. As far as baseball, you know, I don't think he's ready. I don't think he's close to ready. I saw a bunch of ground balls, and last night I think he grounded out four more times defensively. It's rough. It was rough 3 years ago when he was up here, so it's just going to get worse over time. He is working hard to try to fix that. I know he was getting there at about around noon when he was in San Jose and doing extra drills. But the numbers are not going to jump off the page, and it's going to get interesting here. Jay Huang was called back up today, and he has a shot this weekend, I think, to really make for an interesting decision, because if he doesn't go out and have a huge weekend or a huge week, Pablo's going to be here because they signed him to at some point bring him up. But he doesn't look like he's ready yet, and that gives other guys a little bit of a break here to try to take over that Nunez spot.
How tough do you think it's going to be for Bobby Evans when this team still, or the management still, believes that this team can win? They've got the eighth oldest roster right now. Next year, they'll probably be in the top five if they keep everybody oldest roster. How tough is it going to be for the GM?
It's one of the tougher rebuild jobs that we've seen in recent years. I think you look at what happened to the Phillies, and it's probably close to that, just because they have a ton of guys who are signed to long-term deals who are in some cases, like with the Brandon Belt, they're just kind of getting going on those deals. So they have a lot of money committed going forward, and they've been in the tax for a few years now. They're trying to dip under that, and that doesn't give you a lot of flexibility in the offseason to go out and try to fix this team that way. And then the flip side of that is the farm system hasn't been very good the last few years, and hasn't been very good this year. And kind of some of their best guys are pretty far away and won't be ready to join this core. So it's complicated, and it's been more complicated by what's happened this season, even down in the minors. I mean, you look at Arroyo's injury and Austin Slater, and then Tyler Beattie is he's done for the year pretty much too. So it's guys that potentially could have helped and brought that average age down next year are getting a late start on their careers too.
And Beattie, was it? Is it growing?
Yeah, he has a groin strain. It's not terrible, but it's bad enough that it's going to keep him out for about a month. And the minor league season only has about a month left. So it's just really brutal timing for him.
I was at the Pirate game, and I saw Gorky's Hernandez hit a double, and he just ran like a deer to second base. And I know he's young, but I said to myself, this guy can run the bases. He's got the nice build. Do you think it will ever click for this guy to turn in more than something than, possibly below average player?
Well, to me, he's a right-handed Gregor Blanco at his best. I think you're looking at a guy who can play all three outfield spots. He gives you some speed off the bench. He's not really a great base stealer, has never been that way, but he does have speed and has a good arm out there. I know he had some troubles earlier this year. I don't know what was going on with him for about a month or 6 weeks there, but he's been much better defensively and been much better at the plate since the start of June. So I think he really fits well on a bench. Now, the problem they have is they're starting left fielder right now, and as much as he's been much better the last couple of months, you still are really not getting much more than the average in the defense. And you look around this league, and teams are getting a lot of power from their corner spots. So it's an issue in that respect. But I think going forward, and especially the focus for them this offseason in a huge way, is going to be fixing that outfield defense. So that is part of the reason they held on to him for so long when he was struggling, and part of the reason why he'll be in the mix going forward, because they don't have many people who can play center field in this organization and not many who can play it well. So he has a spot here, I think, not just this year, but going forward.
Let's end on this. This has been a really, really rough stretch going all the way back to last year at the All-Star break. And for Bruce Bochy, he's had the health issues. What do you think the long-term future is for Bochy?
I keep coming back to what he told us last year when he was in Miami and he had the overnight hospital stay. And we asked him. I mean, it was just the beat guys. We were sitting in the room with him and we said, look, is this going to be an issue for you? And he said, what else am I going to do? I mean, not in that respect, but just this is what he loves to do. He really, really loves to manage. He loves the competition of it. I think even in a season like this, you see the passion he has in some of these games. I mean, you see him get tossed the other night and some of the games where they've gone into 12, 14 innings that you see him kind of making moves here and there, trying to get Corey Guerin stretched out. So Guerin gets in at bat. I think that is going to keep him going. He still loves doing this. So unless it becomes a really serious health issue, I don't imagine he's going to step away anytime soon.
Alex, you're the best. Thank you so much. We'll be watching you on TV and reading you on the website.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Alex Pavlovich right here on 95.7 The Game. Does a great job covering the Giants. And right now it's not an easy cover. Did you hear the name Phillies?
Wow. Where did I hear that from?
Where did you Giant fans hear that? I've been saying, if this boat is taking on water, if you're going to try and save this thing, which it sounds like Larry Bear wants to do. We'll get into that. I mean, what is the best moves? What should you really do?
Get an outfield.
We'll talk about it on 95.7 The Game. Damon is not here. It's the Gianna Franco show.
Right. All right. Here's what I want to talk about this hour. No, actually, seriously.
When is the G-Spot?
The G-Spot's coming up in an hour. 56 minutes from
the
now.
The G-Spot.
We're going to be off. We're doing it at 6?
5:45. It's 4:45.
5:45? Oh.
And my man Alex Jones from Union City,
the Yune,
is listening right now, saying we sounding good.
The Yune. I remember driving through the Yune. I had to call you.
Yeah.
I had to get off 880. It was so packed. And I'm like, and I'm rolling through the Yune.
Well,
and
make
I
sure
look
you're
up.
You're the right part of, you know, part of the Yune.
And there's this castle looking place. And you said it's a retirement home.
Yeah.
I was rolling through the Yune. What's up, Union City?
Who'd have dropped my name?
Shout out.
Good.
Nobody knows who you are.
Wow.
I want a camera in here during commercial breaks.
Why?
Because it's some of the funniest stuff that happens.
Well, it couldn't be aired.
No, it couldn't be, unfortunately. Maybe it should be just for ourselves.
I'm so glad Alex said that. I really am. Because people, I understand, people, they have a tough time with change in their life, let alone change with their sports teams. It can be tough for people. And, you know, it's, you fall in love with the team, especially with the Giants. I mean, they won 3 World Series, for God's sakes. They won 3 World Series. It's incredible.
It's pretty good.
And it's really not the standard way to do it. They only had one guy in the lineup for all 3. That's so you go to any team in the history of the game that has multiple championships, multiple World Series wins, you'll find a core in their lineup. There was only one guy in the lineup for all 3. It's Buster Posey. They had 3 different closers for 3 different World Series teams.
Cody Ross.
I mean, come on. It was incredible. And we see it on the other side of the bay too when you want to hold on to players and you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, you can't trade Sean Doolittle. Why? He's got a 94-mile-an-hour straight fastball, and that's it. There's not going to be this long-term greatness for Sean Doolittle, and he can't stay healthy. So, but I can understand with the Giants, with their fans, it's like, I mean, look, I mean, there are a lot of people happy that Panda's back. Look at the way Panda left. He took gasoline, threw it all over his relationship with the Giants, and threw the match, and poof. You remember he said, I'm going to miss Bochy and Pence. Screw the rest of the week.
He was being honest. And from what we hear, what was he supposed to say? I got 100 friends in there?
Yeah.
He didn't.
No. And, like, people are happy he's back.
I'm happy. He's the storyline right now. And I think he should be in the lineup tonight, damn it. That Santa, what all that. You come back here, get in the box, and let's see if you can still rake.
But that's why I've been saying, if you really, and once again, I respect them. You know, I covered the Giants for years. I respect them. Larry Bear, they're really, really smart. They've made a lot of money. I mean, the Giants really change the way we look at stadiums. You know, before Major League Baseball, all they did was say, taxpayers, you got to pay for it. Well, all of a sudden, the Giants changed all that. The San Francisco Giants changed the stadium game for a lot of people.
We don't need you.
Because think about it. Once the Giants did that, who paid for Levi Stadium? The Niners. Who paid for that beautiful new arena in Sacramento?
Dubs.
The Kings. The Dubs, they're building their own arena. Down in Los Angeles, Kroenke's building the stadium in L.A.
I don't need no help.
Think about that. The Giants started all of that. And thank God they did, because public money should be going to other things. And that's one thing I totally agree with Joe Lacob when he stood up and said, hey, San Francisco, we're going to take care of it. You save that money for police and teachers and all that kind of stuff and firefighters. So the Giants started that, when you really think about that. But the problem is, they like money, and they don't want an empty stadium. But they're going to play a dangerous game, and that's why I'm glad Alex, because I've been saying Philly. You've heard me say Phillies.
Said it today.
I said it today.
Before
Alex. If you don't watch out, you're going to be the Philadelphia Phillies before you know it. And I'm glad, so someone who covers the team on a daily basis, because I don't. I cover the A's. I like to think I cover all Major League Baseball, but I cover the A's. I'm glad somebody with the Giants. He mentioned Phillies, too. You watch. They're the eighth oldest roster. They're about to be top five, top three oldest rosters because they're going to try and keep the band together. Guru, they are so far under 500 since last All-Star break.
You're right. It wasn't a fluke.
Don't give me sample size. It's a lot of baseball games, and they've been bad.
And what I want to say to you about being bad is, hey, there's no Ryan Howard. There is no decline. Then I look at that, scan the outfield, and combined, the drop-off has been Ryan Howard-like. They have nothing in the outfield where Barry Bonds used to roam. Nothing.
Think if they would have brought Pagan back. How much older they would have been. They're trying to shop Span right now, and nobody wants him. Nobody wants him. It is tough.
Nordstrom's rack. You ain't going to get much for Span. Well, he hits.
It's tough to lose certain people that you've watched help you win World Series. But if you want to stay strong, as Alex just said, forget me. As Alex just said, for Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian, you know, Sabian's kind of the longest tenured. He and Bean are the longest tenured guys. Yeah. Sabian became the GM in 97. Bean became the GM in 98. For those two guys, Sabian and Evans, this is going to be really, really tough. Because your expectations, the expectations are the ring. I mean, that's what this group's expectation is. But you look up at the standings, and you're like, oh, my God. They're 31 and a half games. Albie, you're a Giants fan. You're 31 and a half games out of first place.
Don't shame them.
And the Dodgers are younger than you. The D-backs are younger than you. The Rockies are younger than you. The Padres stink, and they're younger. All these teams are younger than you.
They own the Giants.
So, I mean, this is a really tough
call.
So
what do you do?
I would start moving people. I've said there's three people because, you know, they're...
I'm starting to think it's two.
The Giants do one of the best jobs out of anybody in baseball celebrating their history. They did a great job celebrating their New York history. But now that they've won their own titles. But, I mean...
Three and five.
The statues and everything. So, you're not moving Posey. He's a statue guy. You're not moving Mad Bum. He's a statue guy.
Whores.
And then, what? The horse?
He's a horse.
You want?
He's a horse.
Giants need the horse to be the horse.
They love horses over there. There's
when
no question.
He fell off that bike. What was he then? I've fallen and I can't get up.
And then I would say I would move Crawford.
Yeah, but that's running out a little bit to me. Every game and every inning that I watch.
He's had a really tough season.
But it seems like he's trying to do the same thing every at bat. Like, try something different, damn it. Go the other way.
You know he's had the family tragedy.
Yeah, right,
I mean,
you got me.
I
check myself.
There's a lot. I think Crawford's dealing with and that's something we don't think about. And
you got me.
They get paid a lot of money, and we But I think Crawford's dealing with a lot at home.
He gets a pass, man, for the rest of this season.
Yeah. I mean, the last 2 years, he's driven in 84 runs each season.
What about the long ball?
He had the big year, 21 dingers in 2015. Last year, he had 12. But he's a great shortstop. I mean,
All right.
Shortstops, hey, trust me, shortstops.
They're hard to find.
They are hard to find. Really good shortstop. So Posey, Mad Bun, Crawford. Other than that, the menu. Here's the menu. Here's the entrees. What will
not
you give me?
Not a reliever in that mix.
What will you give me? What will you give me?
And it's
me?
Not about what will you give me. You're not going to get anything. What are you going to get? You got to throw some money. When was the last time they spent some money on some quote-unquote rims or something flamboyant? Go get a Cespedes. He was out there. This old school thinking where the Giants were going to do it this way, Frank Sinatra, we're going to do it my way, that's over. You got to go be the Dodgers. You got to go spend some cash. You got to go get that Bentley. You got to go get that Porsche 911. All that old school thinking's over, Tanny, or that park is going to be empty and nothing but seagulls filling it up.
Spinning rims? Huh?
Some flashy.
Yeah. Go get that Bentley.
I like the spinning rims. Get some white wall tires.
Yeah, Vogues. Yeah.
It's time for the 4K a day national cash contest. Text the code word CATCH to 72881 for your chance at winning $1,000. I have teased this multiple times, and we haven't gotten to it. I feel terrible. But it's a phenomenal question, and it's going to tear at the heartstrings of the guru on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.